We are turning this morning to the great Psalm 46 under a heading, Our Sufficient God. So we're looking today at Psalm 46. We are all living through a period of great uncertainty. The COVID-19 virus and its various variants have ravaged the whole world. Our children have suffered. More and more people are suffering from mental health issues. There is a financial crisis. And just over the past days, we have all looked in horror at the unfolding scenes from Afghanistan. The Church of Jesus Christ is under severe persecution throughout the world and in many countries. Of course, God's work is never easy. We face a determined enemy who is wily and subtle. He wants to capture the hearts and minds of every family. He wants our children's work and youth work throughout the country closed down. His objective is to destroy the Church of the Living and True God. However, we assert here and now that Satan has been defeated, that the Lord Jesus Christ is King. In fact, He's the King of all the kings and Lord of all the lords. He triumphed in His cross. His tomb is empty. He's alive today. But Satan goes around like a roaring lion. He goes around Christian congregations. He goes around towns and communities. He goes around Christian families like a roaring lion, seeking for someone whom he may devour and destroy, as 1 Peter chapter 5 tells us. However, our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, says the Apostle John, is greater. He is the great King. When Martin Luther was facing the wrath of the Roman Church and also the German Emperor, he had a price on his head, and he could have been assassinated by anyone who saw him on sight. He was up against powerful ecclesiastical and civil powers. In addition, he had his own doubts and fears and wondered about the future. He used to say to his very great colleague and friend, Philip Melanchthon, "Philip, let us sing Psalm 46. Psalm 46 was Luther's favorite psalm. It inspired him. He wrote a great hymn based upon it. A mighty fortress is our God, a trusty shield and weapon. Psalm 46 is robust and strong. Notice, God is our refuge and strength. Not has been or will be, but is. God is always contemporary. He's on the side of His people in all circumstances and in every circumstance. Hence, this psalm has been used by Christian people when the going gets tough. God is our refuge and strength. It's used in times of national crisis as well, as you know. Many Christian people have turned to its reassuring words as they find themselves in times of distress or doubt. Now, this particular Psalm 46 is linked to an incident in Jewish history, the history of God's people. And just for a few moments, I want to tell you what the history was, and there's a slide. This is all recorded for us in the book of 2 Kings. Here's the historical setting. Hezekiah is the king in Jerusalem. He's reigning from Jerusalem. During his reign, the small nation of Judah became caught up in the power politics of the time. Egypt and Assyria were two superpowers, and Judah was caught in the middle. Sennacherib was the king of Assyria, and he marched against Judah. Crossing the border, he captured over 40 fortified towns before he got to Jerusalem. He was confident, and his army seemed to be unstoppable. In addition, he mocked Hezekiah by saying, "Oh, Hezekiah, you're king of Jerusalem. You're like a bird in your cage." So within Jerusalem, Hezekiah wondered what he would do. He decided that he would try to buy Sennacherib off with a lot of silver and gold. But King Sennacherib was not satisfied, and he was going to besiege Jerusalem. It was a real crisis. Jerusalem was the city of God. It's a walled city built on several hills. It was what we might call a great military political standoff. Sennacherib's negotiator told Hezekiah, told the people of Jerusalem, "You have no chance." This is what he says: "Do not listen to Hezekiah, for he's misleading you when he says, 'The Lord will deliver us.' Has any God of any nation ever delivered his land from the hand of the king of Assyria?" And Hezekiah is deeply troubled, and he did what all wise men and women should do. He prayed to the living God, and his prayers recorded for us in 2 Kings 19. And then he sent for advice to the prophet Isaiah. And here's what Isaiah said to him: "Therefore, this is what the Lord says concerning Assyria. The king will not enter this city, nor shoot an arrow here. He will not come before it with shield or build a siege ramp against it. By the way he came, he will return. He will not enter this city, declares the Lord. I will defend this city and save it for my sake and for the sake of my servant David." And then the Bible tells us what God did. He intervened in a most wonderful way. It's in 2 Kings 19. He dealt with the crisis, and he dealt with Sennacherib. This is what 2 Kings says to us: "That night, the angel of the Lord went out and put to death 185,000 in the Assyrian camp. When the people got up the next morning, there were all the dead bodies. So Sennacherib broke camp and withdrew." You see, God is not mocked. You can't mess around with Jehovah. Don't even try it. That's the history part of it. Psalm 46 was written in response to that historical episode. It is a poetic meditation about those trying and anxious days. And the psalm has two little sections, as you see on the screen. Section verses 1 to 7, God in control. Verses right to the end from there, God in action. So God in control. The text speaks for himself. God is. Notice that. He is not was. He's not will be. God is. He is eternally present with his people. In every situation, he's on the side of his own. How very reassuring. God is our refuge and strength, our very present help in trouble. How reassuring. Notice he's refuge and strength. Refuge meaning we can hide in him when hard times come for shelter. And then he is his strength when we engage the enemy again. He's refuge and strength. He's ready and able to equip us for every situation. The result is, therefore, we will not fear. We will never fear. Even when all around us seems to fall apart, when the worst bad news comes, even though the very earth falls apart and the very secure mountains crumble. Do you see what he's saying? Christians can face life even when life is hanging on a string. We face it with security and hope because God is our refuge and strength. God is on our side in the dark times. He has provided for all our needs in Christ. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth should change and the mountains shake in the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains shake with the tumult. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. When all else falls about us, we can have his peace and his power because God has provided for us. I have been through what I would call quite a difficult week personally. In my prayer diary, I wrote on Friday morning, "Help me, God." I was in a bad place. Maybe that happens to you occasionally. Remember, God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. And though the whole fabric of the universe falls apart, there is a river whose streams make glad the city of God. You notice the difference in sound here. The mountains are shaking, the waters are foaming, the mountains tremble. There is a river. It's back to peace again. Can I explain this to you? King Hezekiah built a tunnel in Jerusalem. It's 500 meters long to provide the city with water from the pool of, from the Gihon spring to the pool of Siloam. 500 meters long. It was built by engineers who started at both ends and met in the middle, by the way. It's a wonderful feat of engineering. It was a water supply for the city because the most valuable commodity in the Middle East is water. You can't withstand a siege if you don't have water. And so he built this tunnel. Now, as it so happens, the tunnel was not required at this time. But there is a river provided by God. And that's the point. Provided by God. And God came to intervene into this political situation. No matter how troubled you may be, Christian friend, God is able to both refresh and preserve you. The streams gladden, refresh, and bless the city of God. The church of God is where the Most High dwells. That's why Martin Luther took this psalm as a very personal psalm in his situation, concerned about the future of the church. There is a river in the church. The church is secure, supplied by Christ. All that the church will ever need is provided by the head of the church, the Lord Jesus Christ himself. So no matter what happens, God is with his people. There is a river. The streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her right early. No matter what happens, God's with his people. He comes to his people at the right moment. He came to me on Friday, thankfully. I was a different man on Saturday, thankfully, by the grace of God. He comes at the right time. And the word used here of him coming at the right moment, it's the same word used when Moses reached out his staff across the Red Sea. He's got the Egyptian charioteers behind him. He's got the Red Sea in front of him. He's all this multitude of people. What's he going to do? God says, reach out your staff and the sea divides at the right moment. The same word is used. The sea divides and God provides the way of escape for the people. And that's it here. God provides at the right moment. He divided the sea. And so you see what it says. God will help her right early. At the right time, God comes with his powerful presence. This section ends with the nations being in uproar. He utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, he is our refuge. The Lord Almighty, the Lord of hosts, meaning all the, he's the Lord of all the heavenly bodies. He's the Lord who spoke the vast universe to existence. He's the God who rules over the billions of stars and planets. He's the Lord of all the armies of heaven. The nations may be in uproar. The nations may totter. But the Lord is in the midst of all. He utters his voice. The earth melts, just as Jesus on the Sea of Galilee, when the storm was raging, puts up his hand, says, "Peace, be still," and calms the raging of the waves and the blowing of the wind. And seaside people will know that when there's a storm at sea, it takes some days for calmness to come. Immediately, a calm comes. The nations may rage, that the kingdoms may totter, but he utters his voice. The earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob's our refuge. The word refuge, meaning fortress, means a high fortress. God is impregnable. He's undefeatable. He is unconquerable, this God we have come here to worship. And of course, I cannot use the phrase God with us without thinking about Emmanuel, that this God, this Lord, became one of us. And in the little manger there in Bethlehem, that's where he is. In the incarnation, he came to be one of us. And now he sent us his Spirit, and he is with us. What about that? And as we meet here today, he's here. We can depend upon him, even if you've failed. And I don't know where you are spiritually, but even if you've failed, you can depend upon his faithfulness. He's a forgiving God. His help in times of trouble is not conditioned on your great strength, but upon his great grace. And when we realize that we are totally weak and helpless and insufficient, we need to know that we can depend on him, the Lord of hosts, the God of Jacob. And when I say God of Jacob, do you get the point about the God of Jacob? Who was Jacob? He was the person who was the deceiver. He usurped his brother's position in the family. He was a thief. He was not a very good person, but God entered into a covenant with him at Bethel. That's the sort of people we are. God's a God who deals with people like us, ordinary people, sinful people. God comes to us in his grace and covenants with us in Jesus. He's with us, the God of Jacob, the Lord of hosts is with us, the God of all the armies, but the God of Jacob, the personal God. So when Luther faced his situation, what was he to do but go to Psalm 46 and seek to fathom the blessings and the ministry from Psalm number 46? And if you're here today and you don't know Christ, if you're unsaved, then the truth is, my friend, that you're alone. You're alone in the world. You're alone in the universe, because he's not your refuge. There is no refreshing river for you. There's no eternal presence, and there's no hope. Let this passage of Scripture speak to you, please. Friends, seek the Lord while he may be found. He is here, so call upon him. No matter what state you're in, no matter what age you are, no matter what you've done, God is able to meet you and save you in Christ. God is in control of it all. No matter what situation you face, he's in control of it. God is our refuge and strength. The second part of the psalm, verses 8 through to 11, God in action. And here we are invited to look for ourselves. And here we go back to that historical incident all those years ago when Sennacherib's army was outside Jerusalem. Come and see the works of the Lord. Come and look for yourself, says the psalmist. Put up your little drone and fly out across the city wall and see what you see outside. Get your drone up and gaze down at a frightful sight. Look with all the people of Jerusalem at what the Lord has done the night before. 185,000 men killed by that angel on that terrible night. The besieging army has now been defeated. Gaze at it. Come and see the works of the Lord, how he has wrought great things on the earth. He makes wars to cease. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. See the broken spears. See the upturned chariots. See the fires burning. See 185,000 bodies. This is what God did. God fights for his people. He's a warrior God. He's in total control. And as Joshua said, he's a God who fights for his people. The enemy is routed by the power of God. Gaze at it and don't forget it. That's what it means. Be still and know that I am God. Gaze at that sight. That's what I can do. I am God. Look outside the city wall and see it all for yourself. I am God. I am exalted among the nations. I am exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob, he is our refuge. You see, the warring factions, think about them. Think about the greatness of God. Trust in God. God is always sufficient. He's in action in your life today and mine. He comes to us today. Christian people, you have heard his voice today. God is our refuge and strength. Unsaved friend, you have heard his voice today. You're alone without him. You're alone and hopeless without him. What an awful position to find yourself in. But just as God used the evil men all those years ago to bring about the world's salvation, when cruel men did their worst against God's beloved son, when they had him murdered and put to death upon the cross, God used all that evil to purchase his people, to offer salvation to the world, forgiveness and redemption. God brought out of all that awful and cruel cross the redemption of his people. Spurgeon quotes Luther when he says, "We sing this psalm to the praise of God because God is with us and powerfully and miraculously preserves and defends his church and his word against all fanatical spirits, against the gates of hell, against the implacable hatred of the devil, and against all the assaults of the world, the flesh, and sin." It's a mighty psalm. Please be impressed by it. Be inspired by it. Have you heard his voice today, Christian, to encourage you? You may be facing some challenge. You may be deeply troubled in your spirit. Let Psalm 46 encourage you. An unsaved friend, let this again refresh your memory that he's not your refuge and strength. He's not your very present help in times of trouble. He wants to save you. He wants to come into your life. He wants to make your life new. Close in with his offer of grace and mercy today, we pray. May we all be blessed as we've heard his word. Don't let the moment pass. We'll pray together.